I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Hello, this is Mike Swanson, and in a few moments, you're going to listen to another segment of Parallax Views. But before you do that, let me tell you about my new book, Why the Vietnam War. It's a sequel to my previous book called The War State, which has lots of positive reviews and Amazon's been out for years. But this one is a more detailed case study of how American Empire and National Security State operate using Vietnam. And I believe it shows also how things work today, how policy is actually made and why. So grab the book on Amazon.com, Why the Vietnam War.
Hey there, Parallax Views listeners. On this edition of the program, a bit of an extra, a bonus episode, if you will, covering a topic that is pretty relevant right now and taking the headlines, namely the Havana Syndrome. If you're unfamiliar, some diplomats at the U.S. Embassy in Cuba believe that they were attacked by either sonic or microwave weapons, and that the Cuban government, possibly with assistance from Russia or maybe China, are responsible. Now, in a rather recent development, cases of the Havana Syndrome are popping up in the United States, and a reported case of this mysterious Havana Syndrome has even been reported in Washington, D.C. In other words, it's a rather hot topic. So much so, in fact, that the United States government is now putting resources into investigating cases of the so-called Havana Syndrome. Our guest on this edition of the show, however, believes that this is a mistake. Dr. Robert Bartholomew is a medical sociologist and the co-author of Havana Syndrome: Mass Psychogenic Illness and the Real Story Behind the Embassy Mystery and Hysteria. In Bartholomew's view, the Havana Syndrome is not a sonic weapon or a directed energy weapon using microwave technology, but rather an example of a stress-induced psychological illness. Moreover, he believes that the narrative that the Havana Syndrome is caused by exotic weaponry is bad, not only for Cuba, but also the United States. And he will explain precisely why he feels that way in the course of our conversation. So, with all that in mind, let's get right to it with Dr. Robert Bartholomew, medical sociologist and co-author of Havana Syndrome: Mass Psychogenic Illness and the Real Story Behind the Embassy Mystery and Hysteria. Washington, D.C., place of stately discourse.
Bare knuckle politics and all other assorted forms of scandal. You want the dirt on the Capitol? Then check out Washington Babylon. Shocking true stories and political sleaze, edited by Ken Silverstein. WashingtonBabylon.com.
Welcome to Parallax Views, a guest I've been wanting to have on for some time now, and I guess this is a time that's very apropos. Robert Bartholomew, co-author of the book Havana Syndrome: Mass Psychogenic Illness and the Real Story Behind the Embassy Mystery and Hysteria. How are you doing today, Robert?
Good. Things are going well here in New Zealand. We're pretty much COVID-free, and we're very lucky to be here.
So for my listeners that may be unfamiliar, so assuming they've been living under a rock, maybe, I don't know. What is the Havana syndrome, in case there's some people that still haven't heard about it?
Well, and
are you there? Yes,
and some CIA agents
it cut out completely as soon as I asked the question, you cut out. So I don't.
Well, obviously someone's monitoring us and wants to cut it out. Well, look, that's part, you know, this is part of the problem. Ambiguous things happen, or things just happen. And now, because people are on the lookout for Havana syndrome or secret agents cutting you out, then anything that happens like that is now related to Havana syndrome. You know, if I have a nosebleed this morning and I think I may have been exposed, then, it must have been Havana syndrome. And so that's part of the problem.
So I would just start with the first question again. For listeners that may be unfamiliar, what exactly is the Havana syndrome?
Well, these are a number of conditions, everything from fatigue to headache, nausea, dizziness, the most prominent being concussion-like symptoms, a concussion without a concussion, that was reported in a number of American and then later Canadian diplomats who were stationed in Havana, Cuba from late 2016 all the way up into 2018. And the government initially suspected that it was some type of sonic weapon, and later it was some kind of pulsed microwave radiation that was causing these symptoms.
I think directed energy weapons was another one people were talking about.
That's right. That's the pulsed microwave. That's what they're talking about there. And look, the evidence for all of this stuff is very minimal. The most likely explanation by a country mile is mass psychogenic illness, that these people are making themselves sick because they think there's a weapon out there, and you start, what people were saying that they heard a strange noise. Okay, now they're on the lookout for a strange noise, and anytime they might feel indigestion or just a bit off that day, they're on the lookout and they say, oh, I hear something. And maybe that's the weapon and it's made me sick.
So how did you first come across this idea of the Havana syndrome, and what sort of set off your alarm bells to say, hey, maybe this isn't exactly what people think it is?
Well, when I heard about it, I thought, wow, that's terrible. There's a sonic weapon that's targeting American diplomats in Cuba. I just assumed it was real. And then Dan Vergano of BuzzFeed News contacted me, and he thought that something wasn't quite right with the story, and he was spot on. I mean, the more I looked into it, the more I looked, did research into sonic weapons and later microwave weapons, the more evidence just accumulated that this is a fairy story, that it really didn't happen, and it's mass psychogenic illness. Mass suggestion is the most likely explanation. Look, if somebody went to your house or apartment today and left there and felt unwell, and they thought they smelled a perfume smell, and then they went to their friends and told them that, and you had friends coming over, it wouldn't surprise me if they started feeling unwell if they smelled a perfume smell as well. It's very common to have psychogenic symptoms, much more common than a lot of people realize. And it can easily take off like that and just spread.
So for the benefit of my listeners, what other examples are there of mass psychogenic illness throughout history that may give us a better understanding of this hysteria around the Havana syndrome?
Well, I mean, during the 17th and 18th centuries, there were claims that music, certain types of musical instruments, could make people sick. And there were also claims that certain instruments could also like cure diseases. And so it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy in that sense. I mean, there's a long history of mass hysteria, mass psychogenic illness influencing people, there's different types, and you have to be familiar with that. In Western countries, the most common types of mass psychogenic illness today are triggered by an unfamiliar smell, because people are very sensitive to environmental concerns. However, in places like China, where you have a lot of air pollution and you have a lot of smells in the air anyway, it's less likely to affect people. But that's the most common trigger today for mass psychogenic illness in Western countries, is an unfamiliar odor. But it doesn't really matter. If there's a belief that a sound can make you unwell, then if people believe it, then, and it's plausible, then it could potentially happen to you, because this is based on a belief. Psychogenic illness is on a belief. What's mass psychogenic illness? It's the rapid spread of illness, signs and symptoms for which there's no plausible organic etiology. What does that mean? There's no underlying physiological reason for the symptoms. It's not just all in your head, though, because you actually do feel the symptoms. And that's another thing. People, there's a stigma attached to mass psychogenic illness, especially when you refer to it with the H word, hysteria, right? People get upset. Oh, they're saying I'm hysterical, but that's not the case. It's probably better to refer to it as psychogenic as opposed to hysteria. And it's probably better to refer to it as a collective stress response, as opposed to, oh, you were part of a mass hysteria episode.
Could you elaborate maybe a little bit more on the role of stress when it comes to psychogenic illnesses? Because I assume a lot of these diplomats were probably under great deals of stress.
Yeah, the stress there in Cuba, you have to look for the stressor. There's always some type of stress going on. And in Cuba, what was going on was, in the past, before the Obama administration tried to open things up, there was this tit-for-tat game that had been going on for decades with the small number of Americans who were over there. And they would harass them. Like if you parked somewhere, somebody would, you'd be followed all the time. And they'd park right behind you, and so that you couldn't get out. Now it's very inconvenient. It's kind of funny in a way. But some of the stuff they did wasn't so funny. Like because they're monitoring you all the time and they're listening to you, like there was a case where one of the girls of the diplomats who were stationed over there at their house was complaining about mosquitoes. So when they were sleeping, they would open up their windows, and then just massive amounts of mosquitoes would go in. And there were cases where they would get up in the morning and there would be dog poo on their kitchen floor, and they don't have a dog, right? There'd be cigarette butts in their kitchen table, but they don't smoke. Just to give them their calling card that they had been there and you're being watched. So there's this almost this paranoia that you're being watched all the time, because guess what? You are being watched all the time. And they want you to know you're being watched all the time, right? And so because of that, in late 2016, when the first person heard a strange sound and felt unwell, well, they naturally were thinking, well, maybe it's the Cubans again who are harassing us. When in fact, it was more likely the sound of a cicada or a cricket that they weren't familiar with. And but the story spread, and they told their colleagues, and now their colleagues are walking around. They're on the lookout for these strange sounds. And when they hear them, do they feel okay? And if you feel a bit off, the next thing you know, they've been attacked as well. And then it just spread like wildfire through the American embassy. Then they told the Canadians. The next thing you know, the Canadians are feeling unwell. And why would they be targeted? Well, they're friends with the Americans, right? I mean, and this just blew up. And the big problem here was the first thing that the State Department thought when they looked at this was, oh, it must be a sonic weapon. And they consulted a person who was an expert in sonic weapons, and they saw what they expected to see.
What's interesting to me is, you know, I've seen a lot of reporting on the Havana Syndrome, and my first thought when I heard about it was, this sounds a lot like, you know, claims that I don't think can be substantiated that you hear sometimes about, you know, gang stalking or electronic harassment. And I think people are rightfully skeptical of those kind of claims. But it seems like a lot of people are less skeptical when it comes to the Havana Syndrome. I wanted to know, why do you think that is? Why is there, you know, maybe a little bit less skepticism when it comes to this?
It seems more plausible. Look, there's all kinds of crap out there on the internet about all kinds of secret weapons and stuff like that. But if you look at the literature, there really isn't. If you look at the research that's been done for sonic weapons and pulsed microwave radiation weapons and things like this, I mean, there's been a lot of research done, but there hasn't been a lot of advancement because there's something called the laws of physics. It doesn't work very well. And I think you've got a couple of things going on here. You got the internet, which is so vast, and you've got social media, and there's so much stuff on there, and there's so much unvetted stuff and claims that people are making. And then you've got the news media, and the news media hasn't done a really good job of this, most of the news media, because they report on this stuff and it tends to be one-sided, you know, the more sensational stuff. Look, we've written a book on this and we've done some interviews on it as well. But in terms of looking at the mass psychogenic explanation, it really is the second most plausible explanation that's out there right now. And it really should be the first one. There really isn't a lot of literature out there to support the Frey effect. You know, that if you look at the person who did research on the Frey effect and the mechanism involved, they have said, Ken Foster at the University of Pennsylvania, they have said it's not the Frey effect. It can't be. It's impossible. So the news media needs to do a better job, stop doing lazy journalism, and interview experts in this area. The National Academy of Sciences study that came out not that long ago that cited me 11 times, when they did their report, they said, well, we're really not sure, but the most likely explanation that we can come up with is the Frey effect, followed by mass psychogenic illness. But we really can't assess mass psychogenic illness very well because we don't have any epidemiological information, like when it started, how it spread. Well, they didn't read our book. They looked at our research, the studies that we'd done. They'd cited us. But when it came to the book and actually putting in the information about how it spread, they claimed they didn't see the book, which I find hard to believe. I mean, it's unbelievable. And if they had seen our book, I think they would have had a different conclusion, because the epidemiological spread, how it started with the first person there, which was a CIA agent working in a small unit, and then it spread to them, and then it spread to the embassy. That is a classic setup for the spread of mass psychogenic illness. And, you know, they're wasting a lot of time. They're wasting a lot of resources on this wild goose chase when we have bigger things to fry, like coronavirus, like global warming, like challenging anti-vaxxers, things like this. And the Russia collusion claims of a hoax, right? That the election was stolen. There's a lot of other major issues going on that we can focus on. Just to be clear, I don't think the election was stolen. The Russia thing wasn't a hoax. Global warming is real. And I would suggest that people should get vaccinated and wear a mask. You know, this is the age of science. It's the third decade of the 21st century. We need to deal with reality. We need to look at the science and move on and not get caught up in. You know, they spent millions and millions of dollars looking at Havana Syndrome. They could give it to the poor. They could give it to me. I mean, there's a better use of this money in taxpayer funds. In New Zealand, just the other day, they came out with, they spent $12,000 to give a turtle a funeral. near this, well, it was crazy. It's a crazy story. And yeah, it's the turtle funeral story, if you look it up on the news. I mean, there's better uses of our taxpayer funds.
I'm reading an article from a website called Healthline that just came out earlier today. And just to play devil's advocate, they cover the psychogenic illness explanation, which I also happen to consider the most plausible explanation. But then halfway through the article, they say, oh, there's too many confirmed cases for it to be psychological. And they cite a director of ontology and neurotology at Lenox Hill Hospital and Manhattan Eye, Ear and Throat Hospital in New York. And he says, no, it can't be psychogenic illness, or it's highly unlikely because there's just too many cases. And I was wondering how you would respond to something like that. Someone saying, well, there's too many cases for it to just be a psychogenic illness.
I would say they don't know what they're talking about. Look, I have probably published more articles on mass psychogenic illness than anybody alive in peer-reviewed medical journals. There's no set number. I mean, there just isn't. And it can involve a few people. It can involve hundreds of people, and has throughout history. And so, I mean, I would say they're not familiar with the literature on mass psychogenic illness. I did part of my PhD on it. I've written books on it. It's just not true. And that's part of the problem. Most journalists are not experts on mass psychogenic illness or sonic weapons or microwave weapons. And so you have to rely on experts. And look, they may have read a chapter on psychogenic illness at medical school or something like that. But in terms of being really familiar with the literature, obviously they aren't, because it's just not true.
Was there anything else you could add concerning, I mean, obviously you did a lot of research into all of this. Can you add something about researching directed energy weapons or microwave weapons? Why can we rule those out? What is the best reasons for ruling those out? Is it just a matter of, you know, there hasn't been enough development in those areas?
Look, sonic attacks was the first suggestion that came out. There's no such thing as an energy gun you can point at a building and target somebody inside. 99% of the sound waves bounce off the outer wall. It's just not possible. It would defy the laws of physics. The second thing is the microwave explanation. It's not possible with the laws of physics to target somebody in a building with a microwave device and just target that individual. And by the way, you literally heat their brain at the same time. It's just not possible. And then people say, oh, it's pesticides because they're spraying for the Zika virus. Well, there's no pesticide in the world that only affects American and Canadian diplomats and their families. No neurotoxin in the world that just affects American and Canadian diplomats and their families. So the most plausible explanation, when you look at it, when you look at the facts that fit the facts, is mass psychogenic illness. But if you look at what's being reported, and I didn't know anything about mass psychogenic illness, I would be thinking, wow, there really is a weapon out there. Because of all these stories that keep coming up with the misinformation, there's so much misinformation out there. It's crazy. It really is. And it's concerning. And social media, but not only social media, even the New Yorker had some poorly researched story. The New Yorker is the gold standard, but they were promoting stuff that just wasn't true. And I would love to be interviewed. I was interviewed by the New Yorker 20 years ago with Malcolm Gladwell. I'd love to be interviewed with them again, because they need to set this stuff straight. And I'll also say this, when they have these hearings and stuff and investigations, they would do well to have someone like myself, Bob Ballo at the UCLA Medical Center, and somebody like Sergio Della Sella in Scotland, the neuroscientist, ask us about what's going on. Because when the National Academy of Sciences had their panel, I didn't see one person on there who was an expert on pulse, microwave radiation, or psychogenic illness. And what do you expect you're going to find? If, you know, if you want to learn about anthropology, you interview anthropologists. Yeah, there are a lot of diverse people on the panel, but you need specialist experts. And that's part of the problem. There's all sorts of expertise that you need here. You need experts on insect sounds. You need experts on microwave radiation. You need experts on sonic weapons. You need experts on psychogenic illness. And that's part of the problem as well.
I just had a few more questions here. The first thing I wanted to get to, since it's relevant now, is now we have these news reports coming out saying that there's incidents of Havana syndrome happening in the U.S., in D.C. Why do you think that this thing is sort of growing out beyond just these diplomats?
That's easy. The government has told people that there's this energy device out there that's targeting American intelligence officers, diplomats, government officials. Now, anybody who has some transient medical condition or feels dizzy as they're walking near the White House is on the lookout for strange sounds or just anything when they feel unwell, and they're going to find it. It's a classic setup. People are going to see what they expect to see. If I skip breakfast and maybe I had too much to drink the night before, although I don't drink very much, and I get up in the morning and have a bit of a headache and feel dizzy and I get up very quickly, that happens a lot. When people get up quickly, they have a bit of a head cold, they feel a bit dizzy. But now maybe I hear an insect sound in the distance and it's like, ooh, and you kind of over scrutinize your body and your symptoms. And it just, you think that you may have been attacked. You know, it's a classic. Now you've got what, 200 countries out there, and we have embassies in most of them. All these people are on the lookout for feeling unwell and strange sounds. And it's going to happen. There's going to be more. It's inevitable. There's going to be more attacks that are going to happen. 100%.
I guess that's actually a good lead into the next issue. We mentioned this issue of how this is using up resources. You know, there's other priorities that maybe we should put before we, you know, start accepting just at face value, oh, the Cubans are attacking us and whatnot with sonic weapons. And I agree with you on that, especially that point. Do you think there's going to be any other fallout or potential fallout from the growth of this sort of claim of, you know, sonic and microwave weapons and the Havana syndrome? What are the possible problems that could arise from this?
Well, there's so much distrust out there. That's why this is spreading, isn't it? People don't trust their government. They don't trust their news organizations. They don't trust what they're seeing and hearing. So as a result of that, it's a huge issue, the issue of trust and government trust. And that's why these conspiracy theories grow. Just like QAnon conspiracies have grown, you're going to see conspiracies around sonic or microwave weapons grow as well. And it's just going to feed on itself, and it's going to be an ever-increasing circle. And it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, and they're going to throw more money at it, and it's a waste of valuable time and resources that can be spent better elsewhere.
I worry, too, that it may have a negative impact on diplomatic international relations because, you know, trust is already, you know, sort of eroding in a lot of spots when it comes to international relations. And we're at a point where I think we need a lot of global coordination to deal with things like global warming.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not good for Cuban relations, that's for sure. And why would the Cubans want to do it anyway? Why would the Cubans want to target American diplomats over there working in conjunction with the Russians or something like that, or the Chinese? And why would they want to do that and mess that up? They don't. I mean, I was in Cuba last year, just before the lockdown here in New Zealand and in many places around the world. And the Cubans are very open about this. They want good relations. And they believe the most likely explanation is mass psychogenic illness. I gave a presentation there at a conference in March of 2020. And they've been more than open and forthright on this. And it's the U.S. that hasn't been sharing information on this. I think This may change once the FOIA documents are released, the Freedom of Information Act documents. I think they will tell a tale, and it's not going to be a complimentary tale for the U.S. government. It's going to be a tale of confusion. It's going to be a tale of chaos and incompetence. And I think that pretty much sums up the 4 years of the Trump administration as well. In just a few words.
I was going to say, with regards to the journalism issue, I feel like at times there may be a problem that we in media face where we don't have a background necessarily in the different sciences, and we can end up, you know, falling into traps because of that, so to speak. I just thought you could comment on that maybe.
Yeah, I started out as a journalist. You have to be an expert, instant expert on all these different areas. So you have to rely on other experts. The problem in this case was the studies that first came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association back in 2018, then 2019, they were bad studies. And then people look at that and they say, oh, it's in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It must be true or valid. And it was those studies were very speculative. And, but people hear JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, they say, oh, it must be true. But it just wasn't supported by the claims they were making in the data that they had. It was just very ambiguous scans of the brain. And I mean, you could see all sorts of things there.
I was actually going to ask about your thoughts on the talk of brain scans.
It's just too ambiguous. There were no structural changes to the brain. Very ambiguous. Wasn't clear. And then the doctors who were given the data, the patients from the government, I think subconsciously may have wanted to please them because the government was saying it was a sonic attack at the time, or likely a sonic attack. So they wanted to please the people that gave them the data. You have to be very careful with that. There is too much speculation and not enough hard evidence that anything was going on.
I was going to say that's the big thing for me, is that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And, you know, just the last two things I wanted to add, you know, when I first heard about Avana syndrome, another thing I thought of was, we have cases, if we look back at the 20th century, of towns that thought they had mad gassers. In Illinois, there's a case called the Mad Gasser of Mattoon. And, you know, people thought a mad gasser was breaking into their houses. And it was pretty much a psychogenic illness case. And we have a lot of prior examples of things like this that run very much parallel to what we see with the Havana syndrome.
Yeah, and you can go back in time. These things happen during periods of crises. And what was the crises at the time? It was 1944, Mattoon, Illinois, and it was World War II. And people were concerned over the use of poison gas and Nazis using poison gas. And there was a Nazi, to give it more context, who had supposedly escaped in that region. And people were on the lookout for something strange and strange smells. And that's exactly what happened there. There was a similar case in Virginia in 1933, 1934, the Mad Gasser of Virginia. You know, these are not just one-off. Sometimes you go back in history and you have similar cases. And it's, you get an initial sensational news report. Then people are now scrutinizing their environment for evidence of the Mad Gasser, whoever it is. And then when they smell an unusual smell, well, maybe they've been gassed. And then they start scrutinizing their body. Do I feel okay? And the next thing you know, you feel sick. And you've been gassed and you're calling the police. And it gets reported. Oh, there's another case. The gasser is real. And then it just feeds on itself and there's more media reporting. And yeah.
And like you said, oftentimes the symptoms can, you know, appear to be very real. That doesn't, you know.
That's right. It's the symptoms are real to them. And so, you know, if you think you've been abducted by a space alien, to you have been abducted by a space alien, right? It's real to you. And then somebody says, oh, no, it's just in your head. Well, yeah, you get upset. but you're also experiencing the symptoms. That's the thing. And they, that just reinforces it in them. No, I felt the symptoms. Well, yeah, you did, but it's still all in your head in a sense, but not all in your head in the sense that you actually do feel the symptoms, but it's generated, it's psychogenic.
So the last question that I wanted to close on, if there's a person listening to this that really just, they, for some reason, they believe, no, the Havana syndrome is completely real. It's the Cubans and the sonic weapons. And, you know, we're living in a Cold War again. How would you respond to that? What's the best evidence you could give them to say, hey, rethink this?
Honestly, the best evidence is the book Havana Syndrome. I did that book with Bob Ballo at the UCLA Medical Center. He's been the head of neurotology, which looks at the workings of the inner ear and things, since 1974. He is one of the foremost specialists in this area. And we thoroughly go through the explanations for Havana Syndrome and very clearly conclude that by far, by a country mile, the most likely explanation is mass psychogenic illness. So my advice to him would be, have a look at our book. I'm not trying to sell a book. Take it from your local library. But look, you've got to look at science, just like the vaccines. There's all kinds of rumors out there about the vaccines. This is serious stuff. Look at the science. Look at the evidence. You want to reject our explanation? Do it based in science. Don't do it based on some internet website or Yahoo Answers from, you know, some 10-year-old girl in Zimbabwe or something who's written that in Yahoo Answers. And that's not, I'm just making that up, the country randomly and the person's age randomly. It's nothing against that. It could be some 10-year-old girl in America or some 10-year-old boy in America or a 15-year-old. But the bottom line is there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet that people search for and they don't know what they're talking about. And experts have let us down with Havana Syndrome. They really have. The media has let us down. The people in the State Department, the medical scientists there have let us down. And some of the studies, the researchers there have let us down. Go with mainstream science.
Do you think there will be a sea change on this? And I'm sorry, I know I said last question, but I had to get your take. If do you think, you know, eventually people are going to maybe, you know, start accepting that, yeah, this probably is a psychogenic illness?
People keep saying to me, oh, it's too late now. We're never going to solve this. Absolutely. This is going to be solved. And it's going to be solved as mass psychogenic illness. I think there's a growing realization in the scientific community that, hold on, the more they look at it, it's mass psychogenic illness. It's already started. When the FOIA documents come out, Freedom of Information Act documents come out, it's just going to get more critical mass toward the mass psychogenic illness explanation, because the evidence points in that direction. And all this other evidence out there, it's like, oh, pulse. Yeah, you're getting it off the internet. You're getting it off these. And so I think it will be, a consensus will be reached among the scientific community not long from now that it's mass psychogenic illness. But we got to filter out all this noise that's out there. And they actually have to do things like look at our book and have a close look at the evidence that we have presented. And I'm confident that's going to happen. Although there's a lot of people out there who seem to think that that's not the case. A lot of scientists. But I'm confident that this will be a famous case in the history of mass psychogenic illness, the famous Havana Syndrome case.
Well, I want to thank you, Robert Bartholomew, for coming on Parallax News. And I just want to say in closing that I think the work you did on this was very important, because I think we shouldn't jump to the most outlandish and sinister conclusions all the time when it comes to these cases. So I think the work you've done on this is extremely important and invaluable.
Look, thank you. These are dangerous times with global warming and all this other stuff out there. And if we can cut out some of this, some wasting valuable time and resources on this and really attack more important issues, then then that will be helpful. Unfortunately now, this has become an important issue in the sense that with all the misinformation out there, why in the world would somebody who's walking near the White House in has some kind of transient medical event think they've been targeted with an mysterious secret energy weapon? I'm sure there are transient medical events happening all the time. And so my prediction is this will spread. You certainly haven't heard the last of Havana Syndrome. It's going to spread and keep spreading until a consensus is reached among mainstream scientists.
It's scary that our first thought can end up being, it must have been directed energy weapons. But thank you again, Robert Bartholomew, for coming on Parallax Views.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Robert Bartholomew, co-author of Havana Syndrome, Mass Psychogenic Illness, and the Real Story Behind the Embassy Mystery and Hysteria. As always, let me know what you thought about this edition of Parallax Views by dropping me a line on Twitter at ViewsParallax or by email at ParallaxViewsPod@ProtonMail.com. Producers credit shoutouts to Catherine, Nathan, Holland, Mark, Chase, Zach, Omar, Ted, Ben, Catherine, Brian, Gratz, Martin, Gary, Emilia, and Mickey. If you'd like your very own producer's credit on each and every edition of Parallax Views, well, consider joining those listeners in supporting me at the $10 or $15 tiers of my Patreon page at patreon.com/parallaxviews. That's patreon.com/parallaxviews. There is also a $1 tier and a $5 tier. Any amount will help. Your support is what keeps this show going. So if you appreciate the work I do, $1, $5, $10, $15, doesn't matter. Please consider supporting me on Patreon at patreon.com/parallaxviews. Again, that's patreon.com/parallaxviews. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views with Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing it like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.